Well, very good evening, brothers and sisters and young people. It's lovely to be with you all once again. I hope you can see the slides there okay, and I'm not blocking them out from this view here. Right, well, what we're going to do tonight, I think this we're carrying on the studies of what you've been looking at in the offerings, which is always a good start. And my objectives tonight are, hopefully, to give you an overview of the peace offering and try and deal with some of the intricacies, the special things that the peace offering portrays. I want to try and bring out some practical lessons, because I think very often when we come to look at the law, it's very easy to get extremely deep and detailed, and there's lots of little bits of information fragmented all over the scriptures, and sometimes we can lose the plot lose the way and the message that we're trying to do. So we'll try and bring out some practical lessons for us tonight. And also, not to confuse anybody, and I'll be at the top of that pile when we come to confusing people. But before we dive into the peace offering, brothers and sisters, I always feel it's appropriate for us to try and set the principle. It's so easy to take one of the offerings and just dive in and spend a whole night looking at that, and then you actually miss the point of where it fits and the overall message that the Father is portraying with the offerings. I hope tonight to be able to show that each one of them had a progressive state to their design and their divine plan for the purpose of Yahweh working through his people. And when we look at the scriptures of truth and we pull out the principle of why God required sacrifice, it comes out in Hosea chapter 6. And I've put the slides up on there, but please feel free to turn to Hosea 6. It gives us a clue of what all the offerings are about. God requires mercy and not sacrifice. He's looking for the knowledge of himself more than burnt offerings. And when we look at these principles and these teachings, and I don't want to dwell on this for too long, brothers and sisters, but these words speak to us of the purpose of why there is sacrifice under the law of Moses and everything that it points forward to for us. God is trying to work with his people through those sacrifices that we might understand the principle of mercy. And so in all of the offerings, whichever one we look at, the offerer, as that animal was sacrificed and that life was given up, was there to teach us a principle of mercy. That animal had lost its life based upon the sinful nature of the person offering it. And it's so easy, brothers and sisters, for us to dive into the detail and miss this point. So when we think about all the aspects of the sacrificial offering of the peace tonight, let's keep this in mind, that the Lord preferred for us to understand the principle of mercy and knowledge, the kindness and the understanding of what the creator of heaven and earth is looking for in each of our lives. And that's the principle. That's exactly the principle of what Yahweh is looking for. And why is it important to us? Because just as it was to teach Israel in Israel's day when they were on their wilderness walk, so it is a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified through the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, under the law, you will all be aware, and I'm not sure how well you've done or gone into this already, so I hope I'm not repeating things, but in terms of the law, there were six basic altar offerings: the sin, the trespass, the burnt, the peace, the meal, and the drink. And two of those groups were linked together. So the sin and the trespass are very closely linked, and the meal and the drink offering are very closely linked. So when we put them down into just the four sections of the things they cover, this is what we get. We get the sacrifice, the burnt, the offering and the sin. And for each of those words, there is a, in the Hebrew, there is a different word that reflects each of those offerings. Now, this amazed me, brethren and sisters, when we look at the consistency throughout Scripture of how the Almighty works. The word sacrifice, the zebach, is always used in reference to the peace offering. And I was shocked at that, because the word zebach actually means something which is slaughtered. And when you think about the peace offering, we tend not to think about that which is to do with a slaughter. Although there was an animal there, it doesn't firstly in our minds conjure up that principle. But tonight, God willing, in our time allotted, we'll try and bring out that principle to us. It's about teaching to us of the things concerning sacrifice. The giving up of something. The giving up of those things as a free will offering to the Father. For burnt, it's the word olah, which is a burnt offering, something that was wholly consumed. The offerings was mincha, used always for the meal and the drink offerings. And then finally, for sin, it was the chatar, the sin offering. And those are the four categories that are described in the Scriptures. If you want to go to a single verse in Scripture and see them all there listed out, it's Psalm 40. We'll just turn there quickly to set the principle. Psalm 40 and verse 6. And these four words are all listed out here in this 40th Psalm, very clearly, starting from from verse 6. So sacrifice, zebach, and offering, mincha, you didn't desire. But mine ears hast thou opened or pierced. Burnt offering, there it is, the olah, and the sin offering, the chatar, hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. And here in this psalm, brethren and sisters, we have everything, the four principal offerings that are replicated in those six types of fundamental altar offerings, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. And across all of those four basic offerings, brethren and sisters, we see the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the principle of that perfect sacrificial lamb that was given for the sins of mankind, certainly for those of us who understand the truth. And I said for myself, brothers and sisters, having looked at this over the last week or so in preparation for tonight, you see a progression. The sin offering indicates or equates to me, brothers and sisters, the fact that we have to acknowledge the nature that we have. That's the principle of the sin offering. And the Lord Jesus Christ was that perfect lamb given to acknowledge the nature that we bear. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it of ourselves. The meal offering indicates thanks for God's providing. And it speaks of the corn that was ground out and made into fine flour, mingled with the oil, which is significant of the oil of the word. And so it represents the giving back of the things that we have in service to the Father. And the burnt offerings were those principles that speak about complete dedication. So if we think about this in progression of our walk, brothers and sisters, at the night of our baptism, we confessed our sinful nature. We confessed that there is salvation under no other name under heaven except that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we progress on our walk, we realise that we need to provide the means of showing our thanks to God through the meal and the drink offering, obviously signified in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the bread and the wine. And we thank our Heavenly Father for that provision. And then as we go through our life, we realise that we should be dedicated. I remember back in my early years, I'd never really appreciated that in the depth of which its importance stands for a disciple of Christ. But the final one, brethren and sisters, of the four, when we come to the peace offering, that speaks about fellowship. That speaks about fellowship. Not fellowship one with another, but it speaks about fellowship with the Father. And when we think about the whole purpose of Yahweh with his memorial name and the significance of he who will be seen in a multitude, I hope to start tonight that the peace offering portrays the principle of that fellowship, both now and pointing forward to the time when Yahweh will be all and in all. And so the offerings, although separate and all portraying a different aspect, have a progressive nature. Now, I'm not going to stop on these the sin offerings, because I'm sure you've done them already. But for myself, in order just to get my mind around exactly what the peace offering was about, I try to just reflect on what they were. And the sin offering is listed out here in the admission of our offences against the Father and the desire to seek forgiveness. It means to us that we must seek forgiveness of sins. And just because we don't offer sacrifice in that way today, brothers and sisters, we do that through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We draw near, says Paul when writing to the Ecclesia at Jerusalem. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful, that promise. We have to desire to seek forgiveness of sins. And the meal offering, brothers and sisters, as we've already said, dedication of fruits of man's labours, the acknowledge that all belongs to the Father, and the ingredients that made them up signify such wonderful lessons to us. But the principle to us, it means a dedication, a life of thanks to God. And this is an interesting point that we sometimes miss. You see, sometimes, brethren and sisters, we do things because we think God makes us. It's his law. We've got to do it. And the law of Moses was all structured for that. And we think, oh, it's hard and it's difficult. But actually what God's trying to teach us, brethren and sisters, is he wants us to do things because we love him. He wants me to do things because we want to do them, not because we feel we have to do them. And the meal and the drink offering and the giving of those things, brethren and sisters, are there to teach us those. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure was at hand. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking of those things in dedication of one's life. And then we come to the burnt offering. The purpose, everything was commanded to be offered voluntarily and to be consumed on the altar of burnt offering. And the burnt offering there, just the skin was taken off, the inspection of the inward parts took place, and the legs inwards were washed with water. And then that was consumed. It's speaking, as we've said, of complete dedication to the Father in our lives. And so the one we're going to focus then on tonight is the sacrifice and the peace. That sacrifice, that sacrificial offering that talks about seeking fellowship with our Heavenly Father. So let's go then to Leviticus chapter 3, brethren and sisters, if you would. We had chapter 7 read, and there's lots of verses dotted around the scriptures which we can look at tonight. In summary of some of these things, let's just try to just pick up on some of the main issues if we possibly can. So in Leviticus chapter 3, we have in verses 1 to 7, we have the principles of the offering itself. If the oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or a female, he shall offer it without blemish before Yahweh. So the principle, very clearly, was it was to be taken from the herd. It could be a male or female. And if you just want to make notes in your mind, brothers and sisters, or your margins, whatever you feel to do, we have something standing out here that is unique to all the offerings. We have here the provision that it could be male or it could be female. That's the first of the sacrificial offerings where this was possible to be done. And we'll try and go into that in a little bit more detail in a minute. We're also told he shall offer it without blemish before Yahweh. Now come over to, keep your finger in Leviticus 2. Just come over to Leviticus chapter 7. And let's just try and highlight, if we can, the types of the peace offering. Because there wasn't just one type of peace offering. And this is sometimes where we can get very confused with looking at the offerings. Verse 11. This is the law of the sacrifice of the peace offerings which he shall offer unto Yahweh. Verse 12. Here's the first one. The first type of peace offering is called thanksgiving. So if he offer a peace offering for thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and he offers not just the animal, but he offers unleavened cakes mingled with oil and so on and so forth. We'll come back to that as we go further forward. So the first type of the peace offering was the thanksgiving offering. Come down a little bit further to verse 16 and you see the other two. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth it. So there are here, brethren and sisters, three types of peace offering: the thanksgiving, the vow, and the voluntary offerings. And each of these three categories of the peace offering, brethren and sisters, are uniquely different to teach us about the different aspects of fellowship. A fellowship that we seek both today and fellowship that we seek, for God willing, in the future. Now, under each of those things, brethren and sisters, there is little bits of different information that I want to try and pull out if I possibly can. Let me start with some of the meanings of these words. And why were there three? Well, the principles of the three here, brethren and sisters, the word thanksgiving, let me start with that to start with so I don't try and confuse him. But the meaning for the word thanksgiving is the Hebrew word Todah, Todah. And it means an extension of the hands and of the arms. An extension of the hands and of the arms. It's talking about something that is outstretched in the idea of giving. When you think that about thanksgiving as a peace offering, we start to build the picture. All of the peace offerings were, or certainly the thanksgiving and the voluntary were a voluntary thing. They were something that was of a free will to give. And really the vow was too. But the vow was something that you outwardly committed to. It was your choice. It was still a free will offering, but it was then something that you'd committed to. And we'll look at that in a few moments. So the word thanksgiving is Todah, Todah, and it means an extension of the hand. And if we want to categorize these three types, brethren and sisters, into, I wouldn't say importance, but I would say in terms of their priority, the thanksgiving was the most important. And the thanksgiving was the most important, brethren and sisters, because it had to be eaten on that day and that day only, where both the vow and the voluntary offering, they could be kept for the day after. So once you'd sacrificed the animal, if it was a thanksgiving offering, it had to be eaten on that day and that day only. But for the vow and the voluntary offering, they could be carried on for a second day. And we'll look at some of the principles for those, God willing, if we get a little bit more time. Just come with me to Hebrews chapter 13, if you would, please, Francis. We're going to keep the finger in Leviticus, but we'll head over to Hebrews chapter 13 and just look at a couple of verses. Hebrews chapter 13, and it's verse 15, I think, we're looking for. Yeah, verse 15. By him, and we're speaking of obviously by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Lamb, by the perfect Lamb, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. So if you want to pick up the link of what I'm trying to highlight here, brothers and sisters, thanksgiving is praise. It's an outstretching of one's hands in adoration or praise to the Father. And when we come to Hebrews and we look at this verse, it is by Christ, therefore, let us offer. It's the idea of sacrifice. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so we have this principle here, brothers. That word continually in the Greek, by the way, is used just 7 times in Scripture. Exactly 7 times. And it means throughout all time, throughout all generations. And so this principle of offering praise to God, thanksgiving as it were, as part of the peace offering, is for all ages. It is the fundamental part of fellowship with God. You cannot have fellowship or even strive to have fellowship with the Father if we are not continually offering the sacrifices of praise continually. Do you see the importance? Do you get the point, brethren and sisters, of what the Word is trying to show to us and teach us through the offerings? If you're not constantly giving thanks and praises to the God, we don't have fellowship. And I ask myself, brothers and sisters, when looking at these things, how absent those principles sometimes can be in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday. It's great on a Sunday. We come to offer our praises before our Heavenly Father. But every day, continually, throughout all ages, this is a fundamental principle of what we should be doing. So let's just go back then to Leviticus. And pick up on the principle of the vow. What is the difference then, brethren and sisters, between the thanksgiving and the vow? And what we see in the vow, brethren and sisters, is if we look at it, is the word vow in verse 16 of Leviticus chapter 7 means that which is made by way of a promise. And so the peace offering was not only about giving thanks and praise to God, but it was also speaking about that which was promised, about that which we had vowed to do. And I'm sure your minds, like mine, brothers and sisters, went straight to the night of our baptism, when we vowed a vow. We vowed to follow the example and the discipleship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We committed and dedicated our lives to that course and to that path. And that's exactly what this vow of peace offering is speaking about. Deuteronomy chapter 23, please, brothers and sisters. Keep your finger there in Leviticus or marker. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 21. This is just the principle of a vow. Verse 21 of Deuteronomy 23, when thou shalt vow a vow unto Yahweh thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for Yahweh thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be a sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. So you see the principle? If we say we're going to do something, brethren and sisters, in service to our Father, then we better do it. That's the principle that's coming out in this teaching. And my mind went to Acts chapter 5. You know where I'm going. We're going to the principle of Ananias and Sapphira. We're going to think, just quickly, we'll just touch on it, but of those things that were said of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts. What happened in that particular situation? Well, we know they were having and selling land and bringing what was taken from that selling process and giving it to the disciples and the apostles' feet. Verse 1, and a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold possessions. It kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter had said to Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie, to keep to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not still in thine own power? You see, brothers and sisters, he'd vowed a vow. He said he'd sold it, and he said he'd given it all. But he kept some back. And the principle for us, brothers and sisters, very simply, in the terms of the peace offering, is our fellowship with the Father is based upon us giving free will. And a vow was a free will offering. If we stand on the platform or we give the appearance in our ecclesial lives, and I'm trying to bring out the practical lessons, that we're committed, but we're not, we're breaking our vow. If we're saying to one another, brothers and sisters, this is what I'm doing, and we don't do it, we're breaking the vow of the peace offering. We're breaking the fundamental links that teach us of how fellowship is obtained with the Father. That's a worrying thought, isn't it, brothers and sisters? So that's the difference between the thanksgiving of peace and the vow offering of peace. But what about the voluntary? What about the voluntary? Well, the voluntary, and the word for voluntary means spontaneous. In terms of suddenly rendering a free will offering to our Heavenly Father. And the vow and the voluntary offering, brethren and sisters, are used on a number of occasions throughout Scripture. Just come with me to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, and I said to Joe as I was driving here, I've got too much stuff tonight, and I know I have, so I'm going to try and just skim over this as quickly as I possibly can without losing the point. But the vow part and the voluntary, spontaneous aspect of the peace offerings, brothers and sisters, are linked together in Scripture on I could find at least a half a dozen cases. Psalm 116, verse 17. We'll go into verse 16 for connection. Psalm 116, O Yahweh, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and thy son, the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. So if we think about what this is speaking of, the psalmist is portraying, he's speaking about the peace offering and the thanksgiving aspect. He says, I'm offered to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of Yahweh. I will pay my vows unto Yahweh now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of Yahweh's house, and in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise, here it is, praise ye Yahweh. And so we have these principles linked. Thanksgiving and vows are coupled together in the Scriptures of truth. There's another little occasion, I haven't got time to turn there, but if you want to make a mental note of an occasion where the thanksgiving and the vow offerings are linked, go look at Jonah. Go and have a look at Jonah, brethren and sisters, in his example. When he is in the whale's belly, he links the thanksgiving and the vow. You see, he realized when he was there in that desperate state, brethren and sisters, that he hadn't done what he had said he would do. Yahweh had asked him to go to Nineveh and tell those people the message of Yahweh. And he hadn't done it. He'd gone the other way. And when he's in the belly of the whale, brethren and sisters, he suddenly realizes that he needs to offer praise and thanksgiving and link it to those things which he has committed to. But while we're going back to Leviticus, just stop in at Psalm 50, brothers and sisters, because there's a little warning here for us in the peace and the vow offering. Psalm 50 and verse 22. Now consider this. Ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces. So it's Psalm 50, verse 22. Lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his way of life or his conversation aright, I will show him the salvation of God. But those who forget, brethren and sisters, to offer the praise, as it says in verse 23, they will be torn in pieces. And so the principles of the peace offerings, the thanksgiving and the praise, which are central to fellowship, let us not forget. Let us not forget those things, but offer the praise and glorify God to him in all that we do in our lives. That's the principle, the underlying principle that we see from the peace offerings. And I hope I haven't over-laboured that, but that's the start of where we are. So very quickly then, as we picked up on to start with, the offering itself could be of male or female. And as we said just at the start, brothers and sisters, why is that? When all the other offerings pretty much, I wouldn't say 100%, but 99% of them were all male. Why in the peace offering is it with the word female is accepted as well? So we'll just go back to Leviticus, and you'll go in at chapter 7. And we can pick that up actually, it's Leviticus 2 I want for this little point. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 2. Leviticus 2. We see in verse 1, it says it can be a male or female. He shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And if you go down to verse 6 of the same chapter, and if his offering be a sacrifice of peace offering unto Yahweh, it be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. Now, do you notice the difference between the two verses? What's the difference between verse 1 and verse 6? Well, it's in verse 1 it says of the herd, and of verse 6 it says of the flock. And so the principles we see here are flock, herd, male, female. And throughout those four aspects of the peace offering, brothers and sisters, we see the lessons that are speaking about the principles of fellowship divinely for the future. There will be neither male nor female in the kingdoms of God. There will be both from the herd and from the flock. And the word herd is speaking, as we know, of the animals of the gender of the cattle, of the beef, and of the flock. We're talking about those of the household of faith, the sheep of the flock. And so through these principles, brethren and sisters, we see fellowship coming through once again, don't we? We see this beautiful picture of ultimate fellowship in the kingdom, when it'll be neither male nor female, they'll neither be Jew nor Greek, they'll neither be Gentile, we'll all be one in fellowship with the Father. What a beautiful principle taught right here when this law was given exclusively, as it were, to God's chosen people of Israel. But quickly moving on, why in chapter 7, when we looked at those principles, why in chapter 7, brothers and sisters, does it speak about that certain of the offerings had to be eaten on the same day and others could not be eaten on the third day or after that particular point? And you can pick up those if you want to. If you look at the principles of them, in chapter 7, and we go down to verse 15, and the flesh of the sacrifice, this is speaking of the thanksgiving aspect of peace, The flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering, verse 15, for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it could be eaten the same day that he offereth the sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it could be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. Why? Well, again, keep your finger there, brothers and sisters, and turn over to Leviticus chapter 19. And in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 5, we see why. And this is the principles that come out. You've got to join together the little jigsaw puzzles, the little pieces scattered through the scriptures to get the meaning. We've got to do some work here, brothers and sisters, to understand what the Father is teaching us. Verse 5, if ye offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto Yahweh, ye shall offer it at your own will. We've seen that. It's a free will offering. It shall be eaten the same day if ye offer it, and on the morrow. And if aught remain until the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire. And if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable. It shall not be accepted. Therefore, everyone that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed things of the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from among his people. That was, brethren and sisters, a big warning. If you partook of the flesh of that offering, of the vow, or of the voluntary offering on the third day, or then it was an abomination before the Father. And that word abominable means to stink and to be unclean. And what we have here in these few verses in Leviticus 19 is a picture. It says in verse 8, if you do it, you hath profaned the hallowed thing of Yahweh. Now, we have to put this into context, brethren and sisters, in what that animal and who that animal pointed forward to. It pointed forward to Christ. Christ, brethren and sisters, in both the female and the male aspect. So it's speaking about Christ in a sense of with the ecclesia. Because it could be of the male or it could be of the female. But it still pointed to Christ. And it was pointing forward to those things which have been and will be perfected. So if you partook of something on the third day when it was corrupted, then that was an abomination. And we know of speaking of Christ that in Luke chapter 1, I think it was verse 35, when Christ was born, it said that he was the holy thing that was begotten of the Father. He was holy, hallowed. And we know that when the Lord Jesus Christ was put to death, that he rose again on the third day. And this is the principle. The principle is that Christ's flesh was destroyed by the third day. It could not have been partaken of in this context on that day. Partaking of it under those conditions was an abominable thing, because that was the day that Christ rose from the grave, on the third day. And so we see that the animal sacrifice was Christ. And it is said, brethren and sisters, five times in Scripture, he would not see corruption. And so the peace offering, when we look at it in this principle, that if you left it to the third day, it was classed as being corrupt and stinking, then we see the principle of why it couldn't have been partaken of. Because Christ would not see corruption. His flesh didn't rot in the grave, brethren and sisters, because he raised to newness of life. And he brought forth the picture of fellowship through his death, through the atoning work with the Father. And that's what it speaks of. And so the reason partaking of it on the third day was not possible was because Christ's flesh never saw corruption. He was never see corruption in that sense. His flesh was removed, no doubt about it, but he was never to see corruption. And so that was the principle coming out from this, why it couldn't be eaten on the third day. So what else can we say in the 5 or so minutes that I have left tonight? Well, the offering itself, brethren and sisters, was accompanied by something. We've seen the it could be of the flock or it could have been of the herd. We've seen the principles of how it was to be killed. Brother Jared read it in the opening verses of what we looked at tonight. The offerer had to put his hands upon the offering. He had to slaughter it himself. This wasn't a priest offering. This was an individual offering. And he had to bring with his own hands the pieces of the animal. The fat had to be burnt on the altar. And the principle of the pieces were as a meal that the offerer was allowed to partake in. This was the only offering across all of the sacrifices, brethren and sisters, where you as the offerer were able to partake in the meal. The only one. Everything else was either dedicated to God and burnt and consumed on the altar or given to the priest, but not this one. Yes, it had aspects where there was a heave offering and a wave offering for the high priest and the Levites. But you as an offerer partook. It was a fellowship meal. A fellowship meal. And that fellowship meal, brethren and sisters, was accompanied by these extra pieces of offering. Unleavened cakes mixed with oil. Unleavened wafers spread with oil. Unleavened cakes mixed with oil of fine flour and fried. And I don't know if you've done the meal offerings yet, brethren and sisters, but if you have, you'll know what I'm speaking of. If you haven't, I won't spoil the Bible class. But it's speaking of those things that are given in service to the Father. And the flour is that which is crushed, the seeds, the little grains of corn which are crushed and refined and mingled with the oil of the word and baked. And the reason there's three of them here, brethren and sisters, in the peace offering, this is my understanding anyway, is because we're all different types. And the word has different effects upon us at different phases and stages of our lives. And some of us go through the fire. We need to be fried because we're rebellious. And other brethren and sisters, when that oil of the word is spread upon them, it takes effect. They're all cakes. They're all there, but the word works in different ways in each of our lives. This is the principle. It's a free will offering. But there's something here, brethren and sisters, that stands out, which is absolutely unique to the peace offering. Why is there leaven? In every other offering you can find, just like there was no female, just like it wasn't of the flock and the herd in those sorts of offering, why leaven? Leaven, when we look at it in the scriptures of truth, speaks about that which spreads corruption. I know it's got a few meanings, but in the main, let's put it to the point tonight that leaven speaks about the leaven of malice, the leaven of wickedness, that which spreads and puffs up and causes the fleshly nature to rise. That's what we see from leaven. So why is it, brethren and sisters, that with the peace offering, leaven could be there? Well, I suggest, brethren and sisters, that it's reminding us of a couple of principles. The only time in Scripture that you find the peace offering absolutely specified against one of the Jewish feasts is at the Feast of Pentecost. Now, we know peace offerings were given all the time because they were voluntary. But of all the major feasts, of all of the major Jewish calendars, the only time the peace offering is mentioned is at Pentecost. And I looked at that, brothers and sisters, and I asked why. And Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 15, we won't turn to it because of time, but that's your proof. Your proof is the only place it's listed is at the day of Pentecost. And I think the Pentecost and the leaven go together here, brethren and sisters, to give us the answer. What happened in Acts on the day of Pentecost? Let's just go to Acts, I think it was chapter 2. Yes, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, we see the principle of Pentecost. Now remember, Pentecost was the only feast where it was commanded that a peace offering be given. Verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was come, it doesn't say come, does it, parenthesis? It says fully come. They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as the rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of the fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. What are we seeing, brothers and sisters? What are we seeing? We're seeing a picture of when those apostles were given the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about fellowship with the peace offering. And these disciples or apostles here, brethren and sisters, were given, in measure, the Spirit of God. Fellowship, ultimately, will be when we are energized by the Spirit of God. Not given it with limit and measure, but when we are given it, brethren and sisters, by His grace, and our bodies are removed of the flesh, and fellowship is with the Father through the Spirit. What a beautiful picture. And here on the day of Pentecost was when this happened. Pentecost was the only day when the peace offering was commanded. Look what it says in verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Is that interesting, brothers and sisters? I think it is. It's speaking about a picture of ultimate fellowship through the peace offering. Do you see it? Do you see the principle of what the peace offering points to? And it speaks of the leaven, brethren and sisters, in the sacrifice, because you know what Yahweh acknowledges? Each one of us, brethren and sisters, has the leaven of malice within us today. And that's why that offering could be associated, not burnt on the altar. The leaven could never go on the altar. But the leaven, as an offering of free will by the offerer, acknowledged that we all have it in us, brothers and sisters. But by the mercy of Yahweh, by His grace, by the one of His providing, there is a way for us to be atoned for that nature. What a beautiful thing. My time's gone. I've got another 30 slides. So I'm going to summarise here, brothers and sisters, really quickly. There was one other really important principle that the peace offering came out with. It was the only offering whereby the animal could have a blemish. And in the scriptures, in Leviticus 22 and verse 23, it talks about this being superfluous. It means lacking in parts. When you look it up in the concordance, it says something which is deformed has a long or a short limb. Now this offering, brethren and sisters, could not be used for the vow. It could only be used for the thanksgiving and for the free will offering. But it teaches us, brethren and sisters, that an animal with a short leg is unstable. And an animal that has a deformity in it, with it being somewhat short, is speaking about our fellowship. We acknowledge the leaven. We acknowledge our shortcomings. We acknowledge, brethren and sisters, of ourselves, even with the best of the offerings we try to give, that we fall short. And that is the principle of the peace offering. And when we get our head round that, brethren and sisters, when we understand those principles that we fall short, it means that we acknowledge the provision of God, of Yahweh's providing His Son, the perfect Lamb, the perfect work and service that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished. And it makes us, brethren and sisters, or should, want to say thank you. And that's the peace offering. Offering of thanks. Thanksgiving. I listened to a tape from Brother John Martin, and I'll finish on this point, brothers and sisters. And he summed up the peace offering for me extremely well. Peace offering was a free will offering. It was an offering
whereby God wants us to give it because we want to, not because we have to. And he used the analogy of a child, and he said on the tape I listened to, he said, if your child, when you came home from work, had cleaned the room and tidied the house and done all the odd jobs, and you said to him, son, why did you do that? And he said, well, Mom made me. Would you be happy? Or if you came home and you got the same situation, but you, your son came to you and said, Dad, I did it because I love you. And I wanted to help you. And I wanted to serve you. And that's the point, brothers and sisters, of the peace offering. We do it and offer it because we want to. And all the law of all the things that those offerings taught, the peace offering teaches us, we have to do it because we want to. We want to say thank you. And when we say we're going to do something, brothers and sisters, we better do it. And by the grace of God, if we live our lives in accordance with those principles, then by his grace and mercy, he will give us an entrance of peace into that time when fellowship will last for eternity.